French, the Celts, the English, the Holland Dutch, Denmark. You understand that all that's going to turn communist. All that's lined up, and they're going to be on the wrong side, and they're going to lose. Well, if you've heard what I've said, I've touched much of your heritage. Is that correct? When I hit the Gomer thing, I've hit your heritage, some of your nations, your people. What is it now that separates us from these nations? The Gomer nations, the South nations, Europe, communist nations in England, and that would be Northern France, all that. All those nations, the people work to stay alive. I'm going to say that again. All of those nations, those people over there, about the most they can get for a day's work is enough bread, or meat, or whatever it is, to stay alive and clothes and that kind of stuff. And very, very few of them can afford the gas to come to the CLC. You see what I'm doing here. Very few of them are, must be less than 5% would have the affluency that every one of us have. Point made. All right. What do we have that they don't have? We have a surplus. And we throw out crumbs of bread that they eat. Not that they eat our crumbs, but the standards, the way they think, are so much different because they don't have a surplus. They work hard for a sufficiency. We work easy for a surplus. Are you seeing that? Now, the Bible says there will be kings and priests who will grant mercy. A king must have affluency. A king must have a surplus. To grant mercy, you must have more than a bowl of soup. You've got to have several bowls of soup, more than just what you consume, so that you can give them to someone else. Can you see that? What nation has the surplus? What nation has the ability to grant mercy? And what nations need the mercy? Well, I'm trying to get to the Celtic nations right now. And why? Their money failed. So for many years, they pegged their money on the value of the American dollar. Isn't that what was the standard of the world? Until recently. Now, if you go to the doctor, and he says you're as sound as a dollar. But only a few years ago, when he told you you were as sound as a dollar, you went out and, boy, you were really in health. Now he says you're as sound as a dollar. You send immediately for an ambulance to go right to the hospital. But you see, our money is hooked to their money through an international web of IMF, International Monetary Fund. So then, why will they turn against us? Why will we have to fight them? Can you follow what I'm doing? When we leave their system, are you hearing this? When we leave their IMF, then there will be no further reason to have peace among those nations, and those nations will start warring and fighting. When we of the United States very soon leave the IMF of the so-called 16 free nations, and then we come up with our own new money system, that will make them very angry. And the Celts, who have been depending on us, will be very angry. You follow that line of thinking? Okay. What will we use to back our new money system? Now I'm ready.
Wheat.
The United States will pay to the bearer on demand one standard bushel of wheat. One ag unit. Made of so much percentage, this, that, and the other. You understand? So our National Bureau of Standards will come up with an ag unit. So much wheat, barley, corn, rye, the whole thing, at a certain percentage moisture content. You know how to do. And so then, a fellow will work so hard for one of these pieces of paper. That means that this year, or 20 years from now, he'll get so much food. But that's not new, because a friend of mine named Joe started that system 3,500 years ago. Remember? Now, Joe was over in Egypt. And he was there with the boys again. Israel was there again. Talk about trouble, rivers of Haven, all the rest of the trouble. But he could see something. He had the ability to see afar off.
Amen.
He read the last chapter. He knew he won. But he was in the dungeon. He had been 15 years serving out a sentence for attempted rape, and he never touched the girl. Wasn't even trying. Remember the story. But he read the last chapter. He knew it was going to be all right. He didn't know how. He didn't know, but all of a sudden, one day, he was sent for. And up before the king, he went. And he had a plan. He said, I know how to get out of this mess. He said, what you're to do is to take one-fifth of the nation's grain and set it aside. Then you'll have something to back things with, because things are going to get tough. For 7 years, they put that aside, you remember? He'll tell you in Genesis that every nation under God's Son that would not go to Egypt, they perished. And the nations that were traveled to Egypt and traded their gold and their silver and their brass and their jewels and their clothes and their dromedaries and their camels and their lands and finally their lives became slave unto the Pharaoh, until the Pharaoh held the deed to the whole world. And how to get it? 7 years of one-fifth of the grain production purchased the whole world. Now, we have a funny idea about wealth. Our idea about wealth says it's gold and silver. Do you know James said that gold and silver will be in the street like the stones? That's how much people will be concerned about it then. They'll want a loaf of bread. And so, an IMF established by Alexander the Great, according to the prophecy given by Daniel 200 years before the man was born, has been fulfilled, was fulfilled back in Iraq and Iran, but he said 2,300 years later, it will be reversed, and everything Alexander did will be sent back, and sure enough, the gold went back. Now we have nothing to back our money system, because we have nothing to back our money system. The values are failing, and everything is a mess. But the members of the Congress of the United States, and the Senate especially, are becoming made aware of these things. But who's making them aware? Well, the Bible tells us that in the last days, according to Revelation chapter 17, that beast with the 10 heads and the 7 horns is going to turn on the woman that's been riding the beast. This woman is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She's drunken with the blood of the martyrs and the wine of her fornication. That beast, which has heads, which are governments, and horns, which are armies, will turn against that woman and say, we've had enough of your blood. We've had enough of that fornication. We've had enough of using our young men for cannon fodder to keep a monetary system based on war and the value of machine guns and bullets. And who is getting shot by those machine guns and bullets? The very beast itself. And it gives you the 10 horns. It gives you the 7 heads, and tells you they're the kings, and how similar foreign one is, until you have to come and all that kind of thing. Now, those kings and those kingdoms are going to say, we've had it. We've had it with a monetary system that's based on war. We're through. We won't have any more. And who's going to do it? The Bible says the Pentagon's going to do it. Because it's the Pentagon that gets shot up in a war. The soldiers and sailors and the Marines, you understand this? And they say, we've had it. We will not take any more. And so, in the last war, there were a lot of cannon fodders that said, you don't shoot me up, I'm going to Canada. And they began to turn on a system that would cause an economy based on the blood of young men. And now the whole Pentagon is standing up, and generals named Brown and admirals named White, and men of the Pentagon, men of authority and understanding, are saying, look, this nation is run by a foreign conspiracy. And it's the Pentagon that's standing up and telling the world that they're tired of being shot up and bombed out in order to make certain international bankers rich. Now, when I said international bankers, there's some who misunderstand me, so I want to get this clear. I'm not mad at the local banks. I was talking with the president of one of the local banks, not here, but up in another state, northern state, and I asked that president about his relationship with the Federal Reserve Board, and he said, oh, we have certain rules we have to keep, and so forth, and I said, well, what are they, and how do you do, and all that kind of stuff? He said, I don't know. He called one of his associates in and said, how much money do we have to keep in the Federal Reserve? Now, here's the president who didn't know. You understand? He was just doing his thing at the local level and didn't have any idea of how he was affected by international politics. You see, he was just doing what the rules said. And he didn't even know the rules. He just had somebody hired him who knew those rules. So he called the guy in. This guy had to have at that moment $300,000 on deposit with the Federal Reserve, but he didn't know. The president, he didn't care. So I'm not casting off on some of the local guys. They just don't know. They might as well be, you know, in any other business. They're just part of the little cogs. So, we see a system that's failing. But you know something? Because the church has also made the love of money her goal, are we hearing this or not? The established, structured church has made the love of money her goal as well. Some people are thinking that God is failing. God is not failing. The structured societies are failing, which are among them the denominations. You see, they're failing too. Because they've made their God the love of money, which is, well, look at it this way, friends. If you've got a $300,000 place and it's got a mortgage for $250,000 on it, you're going to have to worry about money, right? Whether it's a church or whether it's a manufacturing place. And so those things enter in. And unfortunately, we're making our decisions right now, even in church realm, not based on spiritual things, but on temporal. We'll be out of that shortly. Now, if your goal is the payment of your mortgage at your church, I want to say this right, I want to get this to you kind of right. It's going to be easy to pay mortgages off very soon. But if your goal is your structured society, it'll still fail. It'll still fail. Somebody will build a rendering plant next to your church. Follow what I'm doing there. It still won't be any good. If your goal is God and the move of the Spirit and following Him, it'll be all right. Amen. But if our goal is our society, it won't. So let's watch ourselves. See, we're operating in society. We require society. I need this roof. You understand that? I need those chandeliers. I've got to have a place to plug this overhead projector in. I've got to operate within the society. But if the goal is the roof, then I'm ruined. The roof is a tool. That's all. This is a tool. These chandeliers, as beautiful as they are tools. They're not a goal. They're tools toward a goal. And I have to use the structure and the society and the organs and the pianos and the things in order to achieve a goal. They're not my goal. And how many of us have had that mixed up? Now, no one here has done that, of course. So let's say, how many of us know someone else who did that? We got that across. All right. I'm playing with them so that nobody feels hurt. We've given you the names the countries are going to win. We've given you the names the countries are going to lose. But I didn't give it to you in the detail that I want to right now about the winner. Tarshish. Tarshish. It's a very interesting word to me, and it's very important. It's used several times in the Bible. And it has to do with nations that trade with Israel in ships. The nations that trade with Israel in ships are Tarshish nations. Solomon built ships of Tarshish. Those ships went out and traded Israeli goods for 10. When we look at Spain, we find on the seacoast a city named Tarshish whose hills contain tin. It doesn't take too much analysis to figure that Solomon sent his ships to Spain to get tin. Another place the Bible says the ships of Tarshish also went to get ivory, apes, and peacocks. Ivory, apes, and peacocks are not in Spain. There's only one place to go to get them, and that's India. So the ships of Tarshish not only left Israel and went through the Mediterranean Sea, they also went down the Red Sea and traded with the countries of India, getting spices and all those kind of things. So then, that's where we get the idea that Spain is definitely written, and India with a question mark, and the USA with a question mark, because we are the major trader with Israel in ships of today. You understand that? Now, what do we all have in common? Spain, India, and the USA. At the moment, there's only one European country that is not in the Rothschild money system. What's the name of it?
Spain.
Spain is not controlled by Rothschild money. That's why we have very little trade with Spain. Very little. How many of Can anyone here remember of any major trades with Spain, anything we've done with Spain? The only reason we're in Spain is so that we can put some bases there, some military bases. What is it? I can't hear you. That's what I mean. That's the only thing that causes any connection with Spain and us, because we don't trade with them because the Rothschilds can't control their money. We only trade with nations whose money is controlled by the Rothschilds. Can you hear this? And the Spanish have got a lot of products, but they can't sell them here because they can't trade money. How about India? India is not under Rothschild control. How about this country? Yes, but less and less and less. And the thing that's going to hook us up with those guys is the fact that we pull out. Can you see that? We pull out of the Rothschild IMF, International Monetary Funds, which then makes us independent entities and makes us enemies of the Celtic nations, all of which, Northern European nations, all of which are under Rothschild control. So then, the thing that puts us in this list instead of that list is a withdrawal from the Rothschild money system to where we have our own. United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 says, Congress shall have the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof. That is not so, and it's not working. I've written to my congressman many letters saying, when are you going to... Not exactly like that. I always, in a polite way, mention that the Constitution is demanding that he control the value of the money. What are you doing to control the value of the money? And he writes back and he says, the president controls the value of the money. He writes back and says, the president controls the value of the money. And so he, in his mind, in his political mind, says it's the president that is charged with the responsibility of the value of the dollar because he has the State Department under him. But I write back and say, but the Constitution says you do. And we just keep writing back and forth. And he says, but he does. And I don't. And I said, but the Constitution says you do. And so there we go. And they go around. So he explains it the way it is, and I explain it the way it ought to be, because the Constitution, you understand? Yes, Pastor.
Still trying to understand that study. That's a kind of shock to my mind, England and so on. Could it be because we know that in 48 hours the Russians could sweep over Europe? They could take it over very quickly. Bringing under communist power. Is that a factor there?
Well, you see, here's the problem. All of those people have been trained that gold is the value. Now, all the gold went back from all the Celtic nations, including the United States of America, into Iraq and Iran. They're looking for gold. The United States has no gold. None of the European countries have gold. What is the only country that has gold? Except for the Arabs, because they're in a fight with the Arabs. Russia. Russia is producing gold at a tremendous amount.
In their own mines.
In their own mines. Now, we're producing triples, they're producing truckloads. All right, then, where then does that kind of a thinking lead you to? Where is your security next? The nation that has the gold. Now, would you also agree with me that the Celtic nations have all turned first socialist, mm-hmm. now communist,
yes.
and it won't be long until they are completely, mentally aligned with a concept that says your security is in the gold. But the gold now is transferred from us, a democracy, to them, a communal, a commune. But that's the way it ought to be in order to, so that their hearts will go away from us and toward them. Then they will trade, Morocco will trade shavers to where they can get the gold. They're not going to trade shavers for pieces of green paper that say 10 or 15 or 20 on the corner. They'll you understand what I say, Norelco. I'm talking about Celtic, Netherlands, Holland. All right. They're going to trade light bulbs and shavers and little radios and so forth for gold. Because their mind is trained that that's where the value is. Not green pieces of paper with funny numbers. And so it all switched in there. Now, some folks find this a difficult concept because they don't want to think that Europe is going down the drain.
Yeah, that's right. I think so.
But Europe is. And if you don't believe it, just travel there now. Just go through Europe now and you'll see that they work to stay alive. That's all. There is no affluency. But God must have an affluent people. God's people must grant mercy. God's people must have more than just a sufficiency. They must have an abundancy. And there's only one nation that produces more than it consumes. Where is that nation? Right here. And that nation will have a new monetary system pulling out of the old, being therefore a threat to the Rothschilds, if you follow that logic there, and then being a separate political entity from that government, international government control, so that then we are the major threat. Because don't you understand, until recently, Russia was the major threat. Because they were not under, they were the productive nation that was not under their control. Now we're the major threat, because shortly we'll be out of their control. And unfortunately, President Nixon made an unwise political announcement on the television when he said, by 1980, this nation will be free of foreign control. It didn't take 2 months until New York Times carried an article, and it was signed by Rothschild of London, that said, get rid of Nixon. Get rid of him. For anyone dedicated to pulling the United States out of the foreign control has to be gotten rid of. And they made a big blow up of something that happens all the time in all the, you understand that Watergate is a, and I'm not saying that to belittle the facts. I'm just saying that there are teapot domes everywhere. Is that all right? It doesn't matter. Okay, thank you, Mary. Mary's just sitting there waiting for me to finish the lesson. She knows where I'm heading. Yes, it's in Isaiah 49. And we'll go there now in order to get it on the tape and get it finished here. The thing that upset me was when Carter carried on the way he did, and then I got double upset when I found out he was right. And I can't read this whole chapter. I've run out of time, but let me say this. I'll start with verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee, I'll preserve thee, give thee for a covenant for the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Now the desolate heritages are the United States of America. They're not the edge of the Mediterranean. This, excuse me, Isaiah 49:8 right now. Isaiah 49:8. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They'll feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. Do you see the abundance? You see what he's talking about? Not just sufficiency, but abundance. They'll not hunger or thirst, neither shall the heat shine, or the sun shine, smite them. For they shall travel in GNC motorhomes with air conditioners. For he hath mercy on them, shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I'll make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Amen. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and these from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. S-I-N-I-M. How many have heard of the Sino Peninsula, the Sino-American Pact? S-I-N-O. How many have heard of that? What's that mean?
Chinese.
And this word in your new versions is translated China. If you're following me now, is that right? In your new versions, it's China. It's S-I-N-I-M. It's the only reference in the Bible to China. How many of you, like I, in times past, reading the New Testament, wondered why it was that Paul was forbidden of the Spirit to go to Asia? He had already packed his bags. He called up and got his reservation. TWA. He took his American Express card down and bought the ticket to go to China, and the Spirit said, don't go. You're not to go over there. And I've always wondered about that. But the Chinese have never been affected by a missionary effort. Japanese, understanding that. The Japanese and the Chinese are also, at that time, one. Now there's a division, but back then it was just all Asian. Okay. Now, what would have happened if we would have been successful with missionary efforts in Asia? They'd have worn their hair like we did. They'd have dressed like us. They would have eaten our food. And their culture would have been ours. Because in the mind of the missionary, they don't really take Jesus Christ. They take culture. Out from the center of China is emerging an indigenous church. Fantastic in its power and authority. Because those Chinese get Jesus in the heart, Holy Ghost in the head, but they still wear funny hats and live in sand pans. And they don't wear shoes like any Christian ought to wear. Are you following what I'm doing? And they have a tremendous power in those Asiatic indigenous churches. And some of our missionaries have gone over and looked over the place and said, how did you get this power of the Spirit? You don't have the right organ and piano. The point's made. And so now what we're discovering is that those Chinamen, through Watchman Nee, and there's another name, Witness Lee, but they've gone overboard. Pendulums swing both directions, and they got a little thing right now that's too much. But the idea is what they're doing is teaching us power, spiritual power, outside of our social structure that we call Christian. And God said that he's going to take this Sinim, and those people and bring them to Israel. And I studied this chapter back and forth. I was kind of challenged in it. And so I studied back and forth, and I find two Israels here. One is Zion on the edge of the Mediterranean, and he talks about its hills and its walls, and how it's been destroyed and be rebuilt again. And he talks about another Israel that's going to be built in a wilderness. Two Israels. But then he said, I'm going to take the Sinim and bring them to that Israel that's been built in the wilderness. Well, there's only one place to bring them to that Israel to. That's the United States of America. And so here we are. Carter making thick peanut butter. Get me so upset with those Chinamen coming in, showing them all of our secrets. And he said, what I want to do is to have a cultural exchange. Commercial and cultural exchange. Well, when I heard that word cultural, I knew what that meant. Because if they're going to have a cultural exchange, it means we'll send missionaries to them, and they will send missionaries to us. And we'll begin to see some things. And we'll begin to come to what we would call basic truths about spiritual matters. And they won't be messed up by how long your hair is, by whether it's fixed this way or that way, by whether we wear this or that. It'll come into basic truths of the move of the Spirit. And we'll find some things from the Chinamen as they bring their culture and their indigenous church, which is based on the Holy Ghost and the Bible alone. No offense, but no one here knows what that would be like. Are you offended for my saying that? We can't imagine right now what it would be like to have a mind that would operate purely on the Bible and the Holy Ghost. But you see, we're not going to start living in sandpans and wear funny coonie hats either. Mm-hmm. We're going to be able then to see the difference between culture and spirit. For we'll see the Spirit operating truly in people coming from Sinem to this land, bringing a message to us while we take a message to them, and then we'll be able to see and clear, and can I say, God will send angels to remove the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them so that the wheat, excuse me, the wheat can come forth and the grain can be used in God's kingdom. Remember the Matthew 13 parable. Friends, this is an exciting time to be alive. The nations are aligned just like God said it would be. It's so thrilling to be a part of the devastation of Babylon, knowing that we will have to come to a river of Ava before we rebuild God's temple. Are you finding these parallels that I went through this morning? You and I are a part of that great group. We are a part of God's remnant. We are part of those who will have an affluency and abundance of the grain as we tear out the tares and we get down to the main truths of the things. And God is using all these nations and all these influences not only to cause our affluency, but to also tear out our tares, our wrong thoughts, our wrong motives, and our silly priorities, and get us back to basics and truths. And now there's one basic prayer that I want to pray for you, and that is that your whole spirit, Jesus in the heart, and soul, Holy Ghost in the head, and body, glory of the Father, in the physical body, will be preserved blameless until he gets this whole thing finished. Is that a reasonable prayer request? Stand with me while we make that. Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear. Lord, we pray for gifts of wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits so that we can understand what's going on in these days and make our steps in harmony with the way the river is flowing. We pray, Lord, that we'll not be forceful and aggressive and mean and have our ways and force our society and our own ideas and even standards of holiness on people that are moved by the Spirit without our rules. We trust you, Lord, that each one of us will say yes to Jesus in the heart, yes to the Holy Ghost in the head, and yes to the glory of the Father in the physical body. And each one of us, every spirit, and every soul, and every body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address or zip code to David Ebar Bible School.